Hey everybody, this is Deborah from MyMindMyBody.net, and I'm here with my friend Katja. Hey Katja, how are you?
Better today.
Good. Yeah, I'm doing well too. So I'm happy to be here, and we are both certified intuitive eating counselors, and we have our intuitive eating series. Today's topic is the continuation of Principle 1 from the Intuitive Eating book, which is diet mentality. And today we're talking about rejecting the diet mentality. So, Katja, you have this beautiful visual that I'd like you to share with our audience. It kind of gives an overview of what diet mentality is, just as a review for people who are watching.
I started thinking about it, that weight, you see that up at the top, weight, everyone mentions weight. And it started to dawn on me that weight is what I call a keystone. I don't know if anyone understands the dynamics of an arch, but keystone is when they build this arch, you have all these elements and they have to support them until this keystone gets in place, and that just puts the all of them and locks them in. And weight tends to be the keystone of diet mentality. I call it the dieting portal, and what gets you into dieting. And there was a self side to that, and there was a social side to that. And these are the elements that I figured out were usually what the self did was fear, trust, exercise, you know, all these things. And the social side was all these ones here. So if you can sort of look at this and you start asking yourself, what do I fear about that, my weight? What do I trust myself? What is exercise play? If you start going through, you can use something like this as a start point to understand what it is you don't like, and then work on how you don't want it to be, how it will suit you not to buy into these.
Yeah. I think diet mentality, it's a big concept, but it's kind of everywhere. So it's important for us to work on it. So why is it so important to hit diet bottom in order to reject the diet mentality?
I think you have to verify for yourself that it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You have to start going back to saying, well, you know, I'm trying to do this, and it's not, you know, the results aren't producing what my energies and efforts into it are supposed to be making. So, you know, that's where you have to sort of hit bottom. You have to say, okay, I've tried all these things, none of them worked in the long run, so why am I doing this?
Exactly. I also think of it as, if you don't hit bottom, you're still kind of with one foot in the dieting world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I found that if I would have started intuitive eating like months or even a year before I started, I wouldn't have really accepted it. I hadn't hit bottom yet. I had to hit that bottom before I was ready to move forward.
And we see that it's very common for the ones that are just starting it to still have one foot in the diet world. I mean, it's very hard to let go of the fantasy or the promise that you're going to be thinner and you're going to be this lovely person and you can't do anything until you are this, you've achieved this. I mean, that's hard to let go. That's what seduces you in the first place. And so that's probably the last thing you really let go of. And all the other aspects of diet mentality are just like that weight thing. It holds you in. So, you know, until you let go of, maybe that can replace the weight up at the top of there for you is the fantasy, the promise of what dieting is supposed to bring you.
Yeah, a lot of people struggle with that, the fantasy of being thin, and which would lead in theory to happiness, which it doesn't, but they have that fantasy, and I understand that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's interesting that the people that we've, you know, that have been encouraged to sort of dwell on and what is it that you expected and did you ever get it, you start realizing that it isn't really your reasons and thoughts and desires. It's more what was suggested that you should do. You know, you start saying, "One minute, did I really want this? Did it really?" And if you look back and say, if you've achieved, and most people have, you know, they've hit goal weights and stuff, were you a wonderfully happier person? The sad answer is no. You're just miserable. So, you know, if you can clue in on those elements and remember them, then you can start saying, okay, I can get out of that pattern.
Yeah. So why is it so hard to reject the diet mentality? Do you have any other thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's because we don't really see them in ourselves. They've so long become a pattern and the behaviors in our lives that, you know, they seem normal. And so, you know, how can you, I have an analogy of if you were to put your foot over $100 bill, you can't see it, you know? And that's the same thing with this. I mean, you cannot see what you just can't see. And so you have to sort of start peeling that layer of onions back to find out what it is that you need to really see. You know, a little crying happens, and that's the way it goes. But, you know, it's just the way it is. I mean, you have to dig through and find out what it is for you. And that's why you can't see. I mean, it's not apparent.
Yeah. And it's not apparent, but it's also everywhere. It's one of those things where it's really odd. So, like, I see it on social media all the time. I go to a waiting room, and there are magazines everywhere.
Oh,
you know, Shape magazine, and even men's magazines, you know, they're right. Perfectly toned, and the women are perfectly blonde and thin, and photoshopped, of course. But names of foods, I noticed this the other day. I was at Target or someplace, I don't know, a grocery store, and they had, you know, skinny cow dairy products, and bark thins, and skinny dipped almonds. And it's just, I wouldn't have realized that years ago, but I saw, wow, that's just so much diet mentality in even like Target and like just a random aisle.
No, it sells. That's one of the reasons it's there. It's not just because it's really there for our good. No, it's there because it's making somebody a lot of money, Target and all the people they're selling the products. And it's weird is once you start seeing these things, it's almost invasive. I mean, you cannot miss it. I remember being in a wedding room looking at a magazine, and there was this article about, or an ad or something about diet, this, that, or, you know. And I actually took a pen out of my purse and started writing BS on it, you know, and all this. No, what a lie. And left it, you know. At first I felt, I shouldn't be defacing this. And I thought, forget it. You know, people need to have somebody say, hey, don't pay attention to all this, you know, at least question it.
Yeah. People get, I've noticed, well, for me too, it's easy to get like pulled back into the diet mentality because it's so sneaky. Where do you find it in life? It's a little sneakier than people would expect.
I think it sneaks in when you are, well, like when I'm more vulnerable to things, I'm emotionally not really stable or, you know, something I feel upset about something someday and this and that. And of course, it's so easy to blame the body and all these other things we've been told about all these years. That's the reason, that's the rationale. It's not. One of the things they said on the forum, and that it sort of clicked for me, is, you know, there's so many people vilify a certain food or a certain action or this and that. And I've come and I've done a little dysfunctional, thing on my studies on my family and such. And it's not substance abuse. It's not the actual thing, not the food, not that the behavior. It's substitution abuse. It's the fact that we're trying to put something in to take care of something. It's almost like, you know, pill mentality. You want it to, every time you feel bad, you take a pill. You know, if that doesn't really get at the core of what it is. Once you deal with the core of it, it's not there as much.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, when you're vulnerable, definitely. Me too.
Yeah. And we are. We're human. We get vulnerable.
There are two things I wanted to point out. One is doctor's offices. I think the doctors, they pretty much see that you're overweight and their prescription is lose weight. And I think, yeah, weight can be related to health, but not all the time. And I think they need to look at other factors, like genetic factors, and do you move? Do you exercise? Do you eat well? But I don't like how their white coat makes us think that they're the authority. They have knowledge, but we're the authorities on ourselves. And I think it's important that we look at, do we actually need to lose weight? Can we be healthy at our size?
The doctor's office, I've come to a different, I mean, I had a medical background at one time. I was actually an RN years back. And, you know, you're right about it being an authority thing, but what we've forgotten is that a doctor and their office is a service for us. We are not there to be their patient. We are actually a customer or a client, however you want to look at it. And they need to be a service. And part of that is understanding us enough to say, well, this would help you or not. And when it comes to weight, weight is such a just a blank piece on a form that's required according to them, and they're caught in sort of an odd thing because most of the insurances require that, and you know, it just cascades up because the insurances require that thing, because then they can pigeonhole you into a certain type of measurement or what is it? Oh, I forget what they call it. But yeah. they make their, not, it's not an annuity, I'm trying to think of what they call it. Anyhow, they want to pigeonhole us into, are we within this category? And that's, we're a lot broader. It's like saying everyone should be 5'6" tall, you know, or between 5'6" and 5'8". I mean, it doesn't work that way. And the same thing's true of bodies. You know, I know I'm heavier boned than gals that were my size, you know, because even when I weighed less, I mean, I was overly scrawny. And you know, bone weighs a lot. You know, and I used to have a lot more muscle weight because I work different things, and you know, and that's not part of it either. You know, they don't want to look at it as entire. They want to have just a quick one measurement. This is it, routine, and that's not valid. And I call them on it more and more, not on a horrible way, but you know, because the nurses they're in a press. They got to take and do the time, and they got to do this way, and. And, you know, they said, one nurse says, well, I've got to make three measurements. And I says, okay, pulse, respiration, and height.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, and I said, by the way, one of the things I really want to emphasize, and to them and to remember those, I do not let them write refused on the weight. That is not the point. I say it's not applicable, N-A. And I don't know if they're doing it, but I make the point that I don't want that to say refused. I want them to understand that I just don't go along with that because I think it's not valid. It's not the measuring stick that they want it to be.
You are very passionate about this topic, I can tell.
Well, I've given a lot of thought because over time I've had to go through a few different medical. I've finally found a physician's assistant that understands this, and you know. He says, you know, hey, I understand what you're trying to say. And he's more mechanical like I am. So, he, you know, we connected that way. But it took time to find people because he says, there's physicians that will say, I can't work with you because you won't do what I tell you. Okay, fine. Let me go find somebody that will.
Exactly. One thing I want to mention about the sneakiness is the social aspect of it. So I'd be at lunch at work and people would talk about their dieting and compliment others about their weight loss. And that's just, it's normal to compliment others on weight loss because that's just how we are as a society. And I would think to myself, I want a compliment. And I got those when I was first starting out and I was losing a little bit of weight. And I missed that. I mean, who doesn't want to have a compliment thrown at them, you know? And then I realized that I want someone to tell me I'm tenacious, or I have good work ethic, or I have a good sense of style. And it took me a while to go from wanting that physical compliment about my appearance to something that was more about who I was as a person. But the social part of it's really tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, humans are a gregarious creature. We like, I like to call them crowd creatures, you know, or herd animals. But, you know, they are. They like to be amongst each other. And that. I mean, you know, look at cities. Cities are nothing more than a human-centric environment. They really, a lot, to me, it's odd. I live out way out in the country, and I can't see how anyone likes being toes to nose with everybody, but they do. And I'm glad they're there. But, you know, society, and you can't help but start comparing yourself when you're in the area with a bunch of people. But that's not necessarily you. You know, you're not what everyone else defines. You have to, each of us are genetically unique, and we have to live, be true to ourselves. And, you know, it's sad that most people aren't encouraged like that. And I think it starts way early in childhood. You know the authoritarian, you know, I mean, little children cannot exist without their parents to take care of them. And so they have to give some to the authority of others, you know? And so that just, it's a seed that just stays there, grows, it's right there, and it's never lost until you hopefully some point in time in your life, just say, no, I'm me. I will do it my way. And that's not hurting anyone. It's not even hurting me, by the way.
So let's talk about how we both rejected the diet mentality. So how did you go about that? What was your experience?
I had a harder time with it initially because I didn't understand how important it was. I didn't see it. I wasn't encouraged to look at it and everything. My basic toe in the door was weight. I got tired of being hammered over the head by, you know, this is the number you have to live by and that. And of course the scale, I used to check it out. Am I doing well? Am I doing it? You know, why should I measure my life based on a mechanical device, you know? So once I got that past that, and then again, you know, started to realize how much dieting was in my world, the magazines, the people talking about it, how much I had focused on it. Once I started seeing that, then I got to, you know, I got a better defense mechanism going against it.
Yeah, I agree. It's the awareness for me anyways. Once I was aware, I was able to address it. I could see how it was affecting me emotionally, physically. And once I said, okay, this is what's happening. And I was able to think, okay, so I'm obsessed with the numbers. Get rid of the scale. Get rid of the calorie counting. People are on social media. Unfollow people. Get rid of websites that promote dieting. People use MyFitnessPal. All those things are important to get rid of. And that was part of my process of rejecting the diet mentality, of saying, I don't want these things in my life anymore. It's making me miserable. And I don't want you in my kitchen, in my bathroom, no more.
Yeah. You mentioned that, and I forgot that. That's exactly it. Awareness is the first step. If you can't deal with something if you don't know what you, that it's there, that you need to, you know, I mean, I used to say that a lot, and then I still try to remind myself, awareness is the first step, because you know, it's just, you don't see it.
Yeah. So intuitive eating, it sounds really simple, but it's actually really complex. So self-compassion can go a long way in the intuitive eating process. Why is self-compassion so important? Why do you think?
Because you're starting to be aware again, of being connected with your body. And you know, if you're not compassionate about yourself, then what are you trying to achieve? You know, I mean, if you don't say, woman, I'm trying to be good to myself, is this diet, has dieting been good to me? No. And then how do I go about being good to myself? And for me, the way I connected with that is through what it's called inner child. I started to envision myself as a little girl that I was, and why I didn't get, or did I need to get, that type of encouragement to be myself and appreciate myself. So once I connected with that, I could build upon it and start to say, well, you know, I want to make new choices.
That makes sense. I also, along the whole, like, what would I say to a child or my inner child, mm-hmm. is what would I say to a friend? You know, if a friend's going through this, yeah. I wouldn't berate my friend or shake my mm-hmm. finger at her. I would be compassionate and kind. And there's so many bumps in the road with intuitive eating that if we are kind to ourselves along the way, those bumps just aren't as intense. There's a lot of, you know, two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. And if you berate yourself and yell at yourself in your head, it seems to make us that much harder. And so I think self-compassion is a huge component of this.
Well, the self-beating is part of diet mentality. I mean, it keeps you, you know, you're failing. Oh my God, you know, get back to the program here, guys. And that's what the dieting is all about, is you being dictated to the how to live your life. And, you know, you just get to the point of saying, no, I think I pretty much can determine what I need to do and go for it. You know, thank you very much, but go away.
Nice. That's a nice way to end it, actually. Just go away. Okay. So audience, I want to leave you with something to think about. So diet mentality is very complex. Maybe pick one part of diet mentality and focus on that and try to get rid of that and reject it. So for example, maybe stop calorie counting or throw away your scale or stop weighing food or whatever you think might be the first step for you. And once you feel comfortable with that, maybe go on to a different part of diet mentality. Because baby steps tends to work best for most people. But do you think so, Katja? Baby steps?
Yeah, the baby step. Well, you know, another one I would, a little hint, is if you can join, like the forum is a beautiful resource because there is a good thing on diet mentality, and you can read how others have discovered it for themselves. And sometimes that'll click for you. You'll say, oh, I hadn't thought of that, or this, that. So you can develop your list or your awareness better. I think that's a real good resource. You know, go on there and just read what other people have said. I mean, you and I, we can give them our personal experiences, but the forum is wonderful because you have a lot, and I mean thousands of people that have contributed and put their thoughts into there, and, you know, then you can pick and choose something that works for you.
Yeah, start with one, maybe two, but start slow.
Yes.
Hopefully, audience, you can pick something and start working towards rejecting the diet mentality. So, Katya, thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate you spending time with me today.
Oh, this is much more fun than I thought it would be. I mean, I thought I'd be a stiff little thing. But, you know, it's so important that people understand that, you know, it's not just knowledge, it's also compassion. I think that's a perfect word for it.
It is. I agree.
Self-compassion. Thanks again, Debbie.
You're welcome. And thank you, audience, for being here. Again, this is Deborah from MyMindMyBody.net. Please like, comment, subscribe, and we will see you next time for another topic about intuitive eating. Take care, and thank you for listening. Bye, everybody.